It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network, and you're about to enjoy Tucker's Tape with Ross Tucker here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, and it is brought to you by GoPSURV.com. If you ever thought about doing an RV for a Penn State home football game, whether it's a couple games or one game or all the home games, check out GoPSURV.com, and maybe your weekend will be the weekend Ross is there because he swears he's going to do one this year.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm definitely doing one. I don't know if it's Wisconsin. Maybe it's Labor Day weekend. I'm not sure. But whichever one I do, I want you to come in and I want you to wear that shirt. It's a very bright, vivacious shirt. I like it.
I'm stealing my son's golf shirts now.
I'm
down to that. So
yeah. No, I like it. Pops.
Thank you.
Now I'm more of a vertical stripe guy than a horizontal stripe, trying to look a little slimmer.
Well, I'm a fat guy.
So. Yeah. Well, that's why you should be vertical stripes like me. That's the whole point. But yes, nice shirt, Andrew. And yes, GoPSURV is awesome. And yes, what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about inside the RPO. Offense.
Little X's and O's.
Yeah, I think it's good. I talked about screen passes a couple years back one time with Jim Galante, and it worked out pretty well. But there are some things that Penn State fans are concerned about in this offense with Barkley. So I just thought we'd talk about more of them in detail, get your perspective, talk about the offensive linemen, talk about what some of the things that the defenses got to do, what Saquon Barkley meant to the RPO as a scheme, because I think that running back is different and it made defenses play that scheme differently.
You know what I think is interesting? I think that when they get into short yardage situations, I don't think it's a true RPO anymore. And I think that's the problem. Like, I think that when they're moving the ball up and down the field, it is an RPO. Okay, so let's start with the basics, right?
Yeah.
It is a run-pass option. So if you're visualizing this as you're working out or you're driving or whatever, you guys all know, I think most people know the basics of the zone read option, whatever you want to call it, which is that it's an inside zone blocking scheme where you hand the ball, you give the ball to the running back, going, he's sidecar to the quarterback and he goes to the opposite side. You know, he hands the ball off and he goes inside zone the other way. The quarterback can pull it though and run around the edge. We all see that, right? And the quarterback is watching the end man in the line of scrimmage. If the end man in the line of scrimmage comes up the field at all, he gives it to the running back because the defense is going to be, they're going to give up that gap on the backside because if the defensive end's coming up the field, he's not going to be able to close down and get the running back. If the defensive end closes, the quarterback pulls the ball and runs around the outside because the defensive end should not be able to close down the line, change direction, and get back out to get the quarterback. So the idea being the defense can't be right. And whatever thing that guy does is wrong. Now, defenses have changed things where they'll have the DN close, but then they'll have the outside linebacker to that side bubble up and bounce outside waiting for the quarterback. So there are different changes up defensively. But at its core, RPO is run pass option. So what I just gave you was a read option where you're reading a defender and making a decision based upon that. Run pass option is the same thing, except it's either a run or a pass based on what that defender does. A lot of times it's the off-the-ball linebacker to that side. And if he comes with the running back, you throw a quick screen out to that side or a quick slant out to the side. Because if he's playing the inside zone run away, he's not going to be in good position to play that pass. If he stays out there and plays the pass, then they're going to be short a guy, and you're going to have great angles in the running game. So it's one of the reasons why in college football they are, and even the NFL now, you know, we've noticed now more and more the NFL is taking stuff from college, not the other way around. It used to be the stuff from the NFL would trickle down to college. Now it's like the opposite. College stuff comes up with cool stuff, Chip Kelly and Rich Rod and those people, and the NFL guys are like, nah, nah, nah. Okay, yeah, maybe we'll try it. You know what I mean? No, wait, that would never. Oh, yeah, it actually kind of, it does work. So that's kind of where it came from. And what I think happens is a couple things. when it's short yardage, the defenses aren't nearly as concerned about a deep pass. Like, they don't really believe that on third and half a yard or fourth and half a yard, fourth and a yard, they don't believe that you're going to throw it deep, right?
Right.
So they're able to kind of counter the RPO by always having a guy for the quarterback, always having the D end close for the running back. You're not blocking that guy. Right. So he's closing. How many times does Saquon get the ball and gets blasted? But Trace is giving it to him because McSorley sees the outside linebacker scraping across the top. They're in a – I was about to say a word. I don't know if you can say that word on the radio or podcast, but they're in bad shape either way. You know what they would do if it were any other time during the game or anywhere else in the field? They would throw it. They would throw it out to the guy. But I think Moorhead said to them – Run the ball.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes he even says it's just an inside dive to Saquon Barkley. It's not even an RPO. It's not even a read option. It's just an inside dive, which they have so much success the whole length of the field doing the RPO stuff. And then you get to third and short and you change it. And if you don't have the option to pass, it's not nearly as good of a play. So you have to be willing to throw that ball. And I know some people, it makes them cringe when it's third and short or fourth and short and they see the team throw it. But you have to do that. Like, if you're going to run those plays, you have to be willing to do that.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. And this Tucker's Tape segment is being brought to you by GoPSURV.com. If you want to RV for a Penn State game, check them out. GoPSURV.com. There was so much good that Joe Moorhead did in the 2 years he was the offensive coordinator with this offense. I mean, you can't really argue against it. Philosophically, he just decided to use his best running back. Is there a mea culpability or some responsibility that falls on the short yardage issues? Because it didn't seem to manifest itself around the rest of the field very much in the RPO. The short yardage issues, was it manifested? Is that some responsibility fall to the offensive line? Or were the defenses simply outnumbering Penn State and not giving them a chance to succeed?
Well, I'll also say one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley is not a great short yardage running back. And I know nobody ever wants to hear anything negative about him.
I don't disagree.
I think he has good vision, not great vision. And I've talked to scouts that will tell you, like, I know a scout that had a higher grade on Zeke Elliott. They just thought Zeke had a better natural feel for soft spots in the defense. Like, it felt like if there was a hole, Saquon is boom. Or he bounces outside all the time, and he's just such a great athlete. But how often did he, and Bob, I want you to chime in on this. How often did Saquon just kind of take a ball, see a soft spot in the defense, hit it up in there and get 5 to 8 yards?
Yeah, the guy he reminded me of was LeSean McCoy when he was at Pitt. I mean, LeSean had to learn how to run inside and run downhill. When you watch him at Pitt, when he played at Pitt, he bounced everything and he would have a lot of losses as well. I think what hurt Penn State is they didn't really have a thumper. I mean, Saquon's not a thumper. He's a big back at 230, but he is not a guy that if it's third and two and the line blocks 1 yard for you, you have a guy that'll get the other yard. He's not that guy.
I'm going to give you an example.
So I just, and I don't think I don't know that Miles Sanders is that guy either. And I just wonder about that moving forward.
I think Sanders might have better vision. And also, I think Saquon at times was a victim of his own ability. Like, he'd get the ball and he'd see a guy and he'd be like, well, I can make this guy miss. So he'd stop his feet and juke the guy. The problem is, like, in short yard, there's three more dudes coming. He would a lot of times make that first guy miss and then there'd be three guys that would come. I thought that was a major issue for him at times. I'm trying to think. The other point I was going to make.
I remember a couple years ago in the middle of Saquon's 2016 season that you said that one of the things you wanted to see him do in the second half of the season, and this stuck with me, was win more one-on-one battles. You know what I mean? You said, the thing is, he's really good in space. He's out a lot in the passing game, but he's not winning as many one-on-one battles as a running back as he should. And I don't know if he ever...
I thought he did a lot better at that. I thought he got a lot better. He made some guys look really bad. The point I was going to make is when I was in Dallas with Emmitt Smith, all-time leading rusher, NFL history, I always tell a story. He was slow and he was small. And there weren't very many holes. Somehow the dude always got 2 to 4 yards. Always. Minimum. Like, he just would take it, run. He would just sense like a little bit of, there's not really a hole there, but I can just, Willis McGahee was like that too. Willis McGahee was a tremendous, people, like when I was in Buffalo, every time, there's no hole there, but he was just like patient and would figure it out and fall forward. That was not Saquon's strength. Saquon has good, not great vision. And at times his ability was his own worst enemy. I think that they'll be helped a little bit in that regard this year. Like, I think quarterback needs to run more. I think having Tommy Stevens might help. Maybe he's the thumper at times in that situation. I think Sanders will be better at that potentially than Saquon was. I think they got to throw it more. I mean, I remember talking with Penn State coaches and saying, do you think you need to throw it more? And they said, yeah, I think maybe I said, do you think Trace needs to run more? And they were like, I think we need to throw it more. And the one coach told me that he had talked with the other coaches and said, we need to throw it more in these situations. We can't be afraid to throw it in these situations.
My sense is the Penn State coaching staff, as good as it's been the last couple of years with all of it, has been stubborn with regard to just implementing the simplest of things. One of the reasons why Bill O'Brien's offense at Penn State was so efficient is because when it was 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, McGloin would sneak it or Zach Zwinek would get a yard and a half, and right, they would just run a very basic play that was almost impossible to defend. But they're not. Well, Penn State is not willing to yield that play. They're not willing to put Trace under center. They're not willing to have one special short yardage play that the defense knows it's coming, but it's going to be almost impossible to stop because that's not what they do. They say Ricky said it, James has said it, but I think it's a little bit selfish, and I think there's nothing wrong with having that element in the offense because if they could become more efficient, I mean, they could even be a better offense than they've been.
Does the offensive line hold any responsibility? I mean, you've been on record as saying that they did not get better, and it's supposed to be easier for them.
Of course. Well, short yardage isn't easy.
No. I don't mean short yardage.
Stinks,
I mean overall.
You're like, oh my gosh, there's a million dudes here. How are we supposed to get them all? But yeah, there were times where they just whiffed on guys and or didn't get movement. Teams were slanting and stunning a lot against them, and in those situations, they were slanting away from where Saquon was lined up because almost all the runs are Saquon, wherever he is, he's going the other way. So they would slant that direction, and it really hurt him.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you, gentlemen. Your questions, his answers. Ask Ross is next. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hi, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stop by Route 15 Beverage Express for the best selection of craft, domestic, and import beer in the area. Let our friendly and knowledgeable staff provide you with the best service in the area. And don't forget, June 23rd, we are saying thank you for 15 wonderful years of service. Stop by from noon to 4 for free food from 409 Tailgate Club, beer samples, and prizes just off Route 15 South in Dillsburg.